and welcome to a special episode of Extra Feature Interview. Today we have Ben Romeo McRae. I hope I got that right.
Ben Mio.
I knew I'd screwed up. Well, thank you anyway for coming on. Ben Mio, if everybody knows, is just a fabulous actor. He's a great actor. He's done a ton of work, but you guys probably don't know him, so go look him up. He's awesome. He's got a great sizzle reel on his IMDb. He's done a lot of short films, and he's here tonight to introduce himself to us. So let's get to know him. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here. Hello, Toronto and the world.
So let's start off the beginning. I mean, why be an actor? It's such a hard job to do.
Well, you know what? As a kid, I really fell into it. I grew up Jewish, and we used to do Purim plays in synagogue. And they would take Broadway musicals, change all of the lyrics to tell the story of Purim. And that was kind of like my first experience being on stage. From there, I had a big brother. Growing up in Philadelphia, like a big brother program, and he was an avid theater goer, and he would go to all the Broadway shows in New York. And then the first play I ever saw was Molière's The Miser in Philadelphia at the Walnut Street Theater, and that rocked my world. It just kind of opened me up in a way that I don't know. I didn't expect it, but that kind of planted the seed for me to become want to be an actor. I think I was always hammy. My sister and I used to go door to door doing shows for our neighbors. I think it was like $1 for a show, and then 50 cents, we give you half a show. So it's been in the blood. And then I think later on, it was just a great way, to come out of my shell and be, you know, more expressed. Cause I think I'm at times a little more introverted than
You grew up in Philadelphia. You've told us that. Now, my question is there a lot of activities for actors? Like, I know there must be live theater. There must be community theater. I'm looking at more like filming, commercials, or no.
There's all of that. And Philadelphia, I mean, Philadelphia is a great theater town. And it's even stronger now than it was when I was growing up. Back in 78, they opened a high school, Philadelphia High School for Creative and Performing Arts. There's so many alumni that have gone through there. You can look it up, Boys to Men, just so many. And I happened to be in the first graduating class. That's kind of where it all started. I learned how to be an actor. You know, I also learned dance at that school. I was a theater and dance major. I had a ballet scholarship back then, Philadelphia Civic Ballet. So there was a lot of activities. And then in terms of filming, it's a great town for film as well. You know, there's a lot of films that are shot there. It's not as busy as, say, New York, but they do get a lot of filming. M. Night Shyamalan is based out of there, and, you know, he's done quite well and represents the city quite well.
So being a kid, did you stay in Philadelphia and try to get jobs in Philadelphia? Or were you always looking at New York because you were a dancer and an actor? Or was L.A. always going to be your end game?
Well, after high school, I actually ended up going to school at Syracuse. Again, I was a theater major. I had my contemporaries at Syracuse. Aaron Sorkin was there, was a classmate, Vanessa Williams. We had the same classes together, same dance classes together. We were in shows together. It was a great training ground. And, you know, my studies at Syracuse ended up taking me to New York. I did a show. This is how I got my equity card. I did a show called The Tooth of Crime. It was a Sam Shepard play, and it originated at Syracuse Stage, and then they moved it off-Broadway. And while I was still a student, I got to travel to New York to do that show. And that was how I became a professional actor many moons ago. So I've been in the game a long time. You know, and it's interesting, life takes you on different twists and turns. I feel like there's a long period in the middle where I wasn't pursuing acting, and I just kind of recently come full circle back to it.
Okay, so there's a great answer there. So what took you away from acting? Because, I mean, you've just told us you went to, you're a ballet dancer, you've gone to theater school, you've done Sam Shepard, and then you disappeared.
Well, I, you know, I waited tables a long time in New York. This typical story, struggling actor, trying to get a break. And I think at a certain point in the 90s, I kind of switched over to the production side. So I was doing production quite a long time in film and making a couple shorts and supporting myself that way. And so that I was able to sustain myself, you know, on the production side. And now, you know, the fire never goes away as an actor. I think once it's in there, it's always going to be in there. And so it was just kind of waiting to come back out. And I think my life experience has kind of met my skill level, and it's all working together for what seems to be a really great upswing. And I take a lot of inspiration from Paul Racy's story, you know, winning the Academy Award for Sound of Metal. You know, he's another journeyman actor who'd been around a long time. And, you know, he had a whole life before coming out of obscurity and then winning the Academy Award. So it's never too late. That's the great thing about acting. It's never you're never too late. Never too old to do it. And it's great to be back doing it again. That's all.
That's awesome. Your first big role was on Trem TV that I could find, the first credit.
On Treme.
Treme, I'm sorry. What was it like walking on a set for the first time and just like, okay, I'm doing it?
Well, being in front of the camera was great. I feel like I'm still a student to a certain degree. You know, I'm still working on my chops, every role, building. But it's exciting, you know. It's one thing to be on the production side, and it's a whole different animal being in front of the camera. So I love being able to be an instrument to tell the story, you know, to use my physical instrument to help tell the stories that are being told. You know, we're all there to service the script and to service the story in our own ways. And then as an actor, it's great to be able to bring to life real and imagined people in their lives, you know.
Being on the production side of things, does that help you when you're in front of the camera? Because you know how a director works. I presume you were a director of some kind.
I did do some directing, a couple of shorts and whatnot. But, I did a lot of location work and general PA work back in the day when I was first getting started. And what's great about working on the production side is you get to learn all the different jobs. You know, you get to appreciate what goes into it. The artistry, everybody brings their own sense of artistry to their particular positions. And again, it's about telling the story. And so you know, as a production designer, as a cinematographer, as a director, how are you servicing the story? You know, what the writer has written. And, you know, it's a privilege to be able to do what we do. And I just love it.
Now, so when you get cast in something like Criminal Minds, I mean, obviously you're not the star because you're not a recurring role. What do you look for? Do you want to be the villain? Do you want to be a cop? Do you just want to be the stooge? You know, what are you looking for when you read the script? I mean, obviously you get whatever part they offer you, but if you got to choose, what would it be?
I think the world is my oyster right now. I'm just looking for good roles and an opportunity to tell a meaningful story. But, and I think as of late, I've been cast mostly as cops and doctors. I like that. I like being able to be on those two sides. I love procedurals. I love dramas. And man, what exciting shows are out, you know, now, you know, just in terms of procedurals. I love so many of the shows that are out now. And a lot of the BBC shows. I mean, just Mayor of Easttown was fun this past season, you know, coming from Philadelphia and, you know, just seeing what they were able to do and create that world. I love, like I said, I love dramas. I love procedurals. I think that's kind of the wheelhouse that I'll probably work in for a while, but I have managed to work on a couple comedies here and there. And that's always fun and different. And that I'm really paying attention because it's a whole different set of requirements to kind of be funny.
Okay. Your scissor roll on your IMDb is 911.
Yes.
And I mean, when I'm watching you here, you're very calm. You're relaxed. You look like I could sit down and have a coffee. But when I see you people on his scissor reel, man, you look like a badass guy that's taking that guy down. So how much of you is in that role? I mean, obviously you're acting, but that's not you. Or is this you? Or are you acting now? Which one is the real you?
I tend to be somewhat mild-mannered. If you see me in Bosch, you know, I was a cop, and that's a little bit more hard edge, obviously. So, all of it is part of me. It's all of it's in there. I'm not afraid to run with either side of that, my personality there. But you do. You have to use everything inside you, and that's the joy and that's the challenge.
But when you go to a show, I mean, you've done 911, you've done Criminal Minds, which I would say are very similar shows. But yep. Then you go to a show like This Is Us or Bosch. I mean, those are two very different level shows. Bosch is all very stiff to me. Not stiff acting. I'm just saying a stiff show. Like, it's very upper crotch sales speak.
Yeah. And that's a cop procedural. So that was a chance to go in a different direction. I've been playing a lot of doctors. On This Is Us, I was a doctor. 911, I was a doctor role. I think I'm good. I think I would be a good doctor in real life. That's something I thought about growing up, and it's fun to be able to actually play one on TV. I say that too, as I'm not turning out to be America's favorite doctor. What else?
Well, you're on the way. We're getting you there. Just take some time. Everybody has to start somewhere.
True that.
Podcasters.
True that.
Go ahead. I want to get into your short work. You have Vengeful, Heart of the Hate, The Woman Who Stripped, Zero. And one of these you directed. I know that. I should have written down which one.
The most recent film was called Aquarium.
Write my sheet.
Yeah, that premiered at Slamdance. And eventually we took it to Cannes and it toured Europe. And that was a family project. Our kid, Jordan, wrote the script and was in it. My wife produced and I directed. And man, that was a lot of fun putting all our talents together and working on a family project. And then being able to take it, so many different wonderful places. That was great.
We can't let you off the hook that easily. Hold on. Your son's a writer. I mean, how does that feel as a parent? I mean, your child's following in your footsteps.
Yeah. Jordan Phillips, is our child. I won't say son because Jordan's non-binary. Jordan uses the pronouns they and them. And Jordan is a Carnegie Mellon grad. So all the theater kind of runs in the family. And my wife acts as well. So we all juggle different hats all at the same time. Jordan, I'm very proud of, also does some healing work, does some meditation work, and that's in addition to their acting. So it's great when you have a kid that you don't have to worry about.
Well, that's awesome. So Do you feel if you can't get acting roles in the future, would you become a director? Is that something you would look at?
I would direct more in the future. Acting is kind of where my focus is right now. And so I'm putting all my energy in that direction. But I'd love to do it in a larger sense. I haven't done a feature. I would love to direct a feature. And at some point, I imagine I will probably direct a feature. But first things first.
So when I always want to ask these questions, auditions. How do you broach an audition? I mean, obviously you get a page with words on it. They give you a general description of who you're going to be. But how do you go in to just say, yeah, I got this, and do it? How do you prep yourself for that?
Well, I think you need to, you know, to go over, you have to ask the questions, who the person is, where they're coming from, what's the circumstances of the scene, the process that, get all the text into your head as much as you can. And then you go for it. You know, they want you to be off book, so you really need to know the lines. And then the thing is, you in order to really fly, you really do have to know the lines, because if once you know the text, then you can kind of get into the motivations of the character or the behavior, and you're not thinking about the dialogue. So it's hard to be natural with the words if you're trying to think of the lines, and that's, you don't really want to do that. A lot of the auditions are happening virtually now. So this is actually the room that I do a lot of my taped auditions in. And, pretty much everybody in the industry are doing self-tapes and Zoom interviews, Zoom auditions. It's pretty interesting right now.
So when you get something for, because you did do some science fiction, you're star-crossed. How is doing science fiction for you? Is that something that interests you, or is just a job, which I accept as an answer?
I love the genre. Like I said, I would love to do an action movies, thrillers, dramas. I love it all. I really do. As a kid, I would get lost watching television and movies. I just get so immersed in it. I could tune the whole world out and just really be inside the story. And sometimes that was great, just, whatever you're going through as a kid. And I did had a somewhat rocky childhood at certain points. I was able to kind of immerse myself into the imagining world of the stories that were, I was watching on TV back then. And so that was a comfort. It was just something that I ended up loving. I think that's why I'm so drawn to it still now,
Now, would you, one of your dream jobs be to go on like a Star Trek and play an alien, be covered in makeup, maybe some prosthetics, something totally different than the procedurals you've been doing?
That would be great. I watched a lot of Star Trek as a kid. That was one of my favorite shows. I would love to, be on one of the new iterations of that show, or any of the science fiction shows or movies. It'd be a lot of fun. Again, it's fantasy. You really can get lost into that strange, brave new world of what that they create. That would be a lot of fun. I would love it.
Have you ever tried your hand at writing?
I have, though. Man, that blank page is, wow. That's I give writers a lot of credit. To be able to fill that page takes quite a lot of focus. But I think my wife is more of the writer than I am. I definitely see myself directing. I don't, not necessarily seeing myself as a writer director, put it that way.
That's good. So after you've done this family project, I'm thinking like there has to be a feature of this family that you guys are talking about. I mean, you sent it to Slam Dance. You think you did these big festivals. Maybe that should be the next project, just some big family feature. You can direct it.
I think so. I think we're ready to move up to a bigger project. So that's it's in the talk. It's in the, actually my wife is actually finishing a feature documentary right now called Potlicker. That was this, an idea that originated with her getting the history of her grandmother's recipes, and then being struck by the idea of the lineage of family through food. It turned into this very large project. That, you know, rather than a short, it just kind of grew into a feature. And so that'll be actually coming out soon. But as far as a narrative, my wife does have a couple of scripts that she's written that she'll probably shop and or we can jump on. But I think as a family, at some point, we will do another project together.
So when you're directing a project, obviously you've worked with your family. Do you find it difficult to work with your family in the sense you're like, okay, I understand what we've done, but we need to chop here. We need to go a little bit more depth here. I mean, how do you control your family? I mean, they know you. You know them. They know what buttons to hit.
That's true. I think, you know what? I think I get on my wife's nerves a little bit. And, you know, she I think we all have definitely distinct personalities. My wife, you know, is a strong person, a strong, compassionate person. And so she has a definite idea of how things should go. I have my own ideas of how I would do things. And so we do kind of have a little bit of creative friction when we're working together. And little by little, you know, we're kind of working through that and figuring out the best ways for us to work together. And then even in these self-tape auditions, you know, I'll read with her. She'll read with me. Jordan has moved down to New Orleans. So they're, we're empty nesters at this point, but we'll come together and do another project at some point. It's just a matter of time.
So I want to go to these self-tape auditions. I mean, they send you something, you do it. So do you prefer that over to be live? I mean, if you make a mistake or you're not happy with it, you can just redo it.
Yeah, that is a benefit. You know, there's no real substitute for being in the room. And at a certain point, you know, that's really what it's all about, is being in the room with everyone. But for now, this is kind of what we're stuck with. I don't necessarily prefer it, but in some ways it can make it easier and more expedient. You don't have to get in the car, you don't have to go someplace, you know, to do the audition. So there's that benefit.
Now, being an actor, obviously, are you looking currently for independent projects? I mean, I think that would allow you to expand. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a collaborative art, and it's all about, you know, meeting people, networking, and then, you know, invariably you hope you align yourself with somebody who's got a project that you'd be right for, or you aggressively seek out projects that you're interested in and heard about, or, you know, you read the trades and see what's going on and try to, you know, get your agent to get you in on stuff.
Of course.
It's all that.
Now, you said you're also a ballet dancer, if I heard you correctly.
I did dance for quite a while back in the day. I never, I didn't stick with it. I, you know, ended up going straight theater. But if I would have imagined myself more of a concert dancer, then maybe I would have stuck with it. But it was great training to be in your body like that and to be able to express yourself through movement.
That's what I meant. You got it. You got that question totally. Now, my last question as a dancer, I mean, it's strong focus. I don't think a lot of people understand the amount of work a dancer has to do to their body and control their body and the movement and the timing. Now, has that all helped you to be a better actor?
I think so. You know, it's like being a musician, and you do, you know, you play the scales every day. You know, you go in the studio and you do your exercises and the different movements to train the different muscles. It's a discipline, but you know, all art is a discipline, and it takes, I guess, self-discipline to stay focused and keep moving forward. But you know, the great artists do it like breathing, and I hope to do that with acting.
Well, after watching your scissor reel and meeting, I'm telling people, man, you're on your way. Like, it just doesn't seem like the same person. I wish I had more to go off of, but that's the only thing I could find. Go ahead.
I was just saying, it's getting bigger and better, you know, all the time. So I have three projects that are in the can that are coming out. I can't talk about yet.
Of course not.
For Amazon, yeah. Well, NDAs are rough. You really have to make you wait now. So, but Amazon, Apple, Sony Pictures. Those are the three projects that I have that are going to be coming
those
out.
Those are three big projects, then, because I heard the word Apple. I heard the word Sony Pictures, which is always big. Well, that's great. Now, I'm going to get into the fun questions of the show, if that's okay. I think I've covered. Sure. Unless I missed something, feel free to correct me, but I think I've done pretty good. Your favorite film, please, because it's your first time on the show.
For a long time, I said 3 Days of the Condor. I'll stick with that just for the for discussion.
Now, there's a funny thing. If people even know they've seen 3 Days of a Condor, I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say for my generation, it's a big film. I've seen it.
Well, it's not. I mean, that's, I'm older than I look, and I've been around, I've been around a minute. But that's the, you know, to talk about a thriller, you know, and Robert Redford and Faye Dunaway were amazing in that film. So from childhood, that's one that sticks out.
Now, you probably would have gone to a pretty cool theater to see that. I mean, that would have been the 70s, I think. It came out in the 70s or maybe early 80s.
Yeah, I'm not sure what year that was. But I've definitely seen it on a television screen many times. I can't remember if it was in a theater when I saw it first, to be honest.
Fair enough. Now, I always like to ask this question. Your favorite food?
I eat a lot of pizza. And I love authentic Italian pizza. We were to Rome and had some amazing pizza in Rome. So the bar is set really high. But pizza, maybe?
Nothing wrong with pizza. And this is not going to be, it's not my last question, just so you know. Do you still have your Philly accent?
No. I actually, funnily enough, I don't think I ever did have one. I don't know how that happened, but yeah, I don't think I had one. I have a lot of friends that still have theirs. Tony Luke, the cheesesteak kingpin, was a classmate of mine, and he still has his. Very thick.
Your last question. One show you're going to be on.
One show that I'm going to be on.
I'm not saying you can cast yet, but you're going to get there. Maybe next week you're getting the call.
Gotcha.
I don't want to get any trouble, so that's why I just say it that way.
Maybe The Blacklist or something a little dark.
That's a perfect answer.
Yeah.
There you go. All good. Before you can
see
you go.
You can see my wife and I in a Kohler Guard commercial right now that's running nationally. So that's a lot of fun, having worked with her, you know, having had the opportunity to work with her, particularly during COVID. That was fun. And an important subject to be screened for, you know, colon cancer.
Absolutely. Now, before we let you go, promote your stuff. You have a wonderful short you did with your family, which nobody sent me, which I would love to have watched. We could have talked about it tonight, but nobody sent it to me. So tell people where they can find it. And at least myself, I can watch it too.
Well, aquarium should be coming out probably on Amazon. They'll be able to find it there. And then in terms of what's coming up, we have Amazon, Apple, and Sony Pictures. If they go to my website, benmio.com, they'll be able to get all of my latest and greatest news.
Well, great. Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming on the show. And thank you for introducing yourself.
Thanks for having me. It's been a real pleasure.